That flash of fire will be lightning going from horizon to horizon at the second coming of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Welcome, folks, Pastor Eli James. And tonight, Greg Howard is able to join us again. And this is part 10 of the Apocalypse of Baruch. How are you doing, Pastor Howard?
Oh, praise Yahweh, brother. Every day is just another adventure in this crazy world we live in. I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Steve for filling in for me the last couple of nights on Friday nights. I've got a new job that I have to work evenings sometimes, and I just cannot make it to the Friday show. So thanks, Brother Steve, for taking care of that for me. I'm much appreciated. And it just worked out tonight where I could be here. So I send greetings to all my white brothers and sisters, and we're just living in the most interesting time to ever be alive right now.
Ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
This is it.
Yep, this is it.
Would you pick any other time to be alive than right now?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you might, but you'd have no choice in the matter.
Right.
But, brother, I believe we are going to see the end of the age, and we are going to be still alive and witness the returning Yahshua Christ coming in the clouds with the angelic armies to shut down all this satanic filth that infests this planet. And we may not even experience death. Some of us surely will, but I believe some of us will not. And we're going to see the most amazing transformation that's ever taken place in this world.
Yes.
Well, brother, that's what Baruch's book is all about. That's why we're even bothering to get into this book.
Yeah,
well, the book of Baruch details it for us, and the chapter we're going to get into tonight, chapter 70, is the specific chapter that details what's going on at the end of the age when the Messiah returns.
Yes,
and we find ourselves in that exact moment. Yeah. How fascinating is that?
I knew you'd want to discuss this chapter. Pastor Steve and I actually proceeded up to including chapter 73. But I knew that chapter 70 contains the material that you specifically wanted to get into. And so let me just do a really quick recap. That chapter 70 is the chapter that deals with the last dark water, which of the series of 12. And before that, we dealt with the bright waters of Hezekiah and Josiah, who were the two, only two Israelite kings after David and Solomon. And Solomon fell into the pit as well. The only two kings past David and Solomon that were any good, okay? And then finally, this final age of dark waters begins in chapter 70, which is, from the way I read it, is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Babylonians up until the second coming. That's how I read it. I don't know if you want to quickly comment on that before we get into chapter 70.
Brother, I was doing a little technical thing on my computer, and I momentarily spaced out. What did you just read from which chapter?
Okay, well, we're just getting ready to go into chapter 70.
Yep.
Okay, and I'll let you do the interpretation, because I know this is one of your favorite chapters. So let me just go ahead and read chapter 70, which, as I understand it, details the period of time from the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians to the second coming. Okay? So it's a long expanse of time, about 2,500 years, but it focuses mainly on the end of that period of time, which I think it describes in graphic detail. Okay? All right, chapter 70, verse 1. Hear, therefore, the interpretation, and in the previous chapter that talks about the consummation, for this is the consummation, leading directly.
Now, brother, before you even continue.
Yes.
Because that term is used, when they say the consummation, how would you define that term as Baruch uses it in his book?
Oh, well, it's when everything resolves itself. All the battle between good and evil is finally resolved.
Exactly.
Okay.
There, thankfully, there is a consummation
Yes.
to this insanity that we are living in now.
Oh, can't wait.
There's an end to it. And it's the perfect word, a consummation. There's an end to this crazy, insane, evil age that we live in.
Yes.
There's an end to it. I mean, if we just put in the proper English term to define, we would say there's an end to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a consummation
to it.
There's
got to be. There better be.
If there's not, why are we even bothering to go through all of this crazy day-to-day?
Right.
You know what the thought I had the other day?
That's what it is.
As I was working and I was musing on the book of Baruch, the Apocalypse of Baruch, there really is a conspiracy. Okay?
Yes.
All of us Christian identity people that are accused of being conspiracy theorists, which I hate that term. I hate that term. Ah, Greg, you're just a paranoid. You're a conspiracy theorist. Put on your tinfoil hat. You know, you probably believe in chemtrails, don't you?
Yes.
Actually, I do believe in chemtrails, yes. You probably think they're putting fluoride in the water to dumb us all down, don't you?
Yes, I am.
Actually, yes, I do believe that. So I don't ever drink tap water that's not
filtered.
There's
no doubt about it, right?
You know? I mean, brother, they are just trying to kill us off, dumb us down, pawn our women off to dark races. You can go on and on and on.
Amen.
There is a serious, and I'm not saying the word that comes into my head, there is a serious conspiracy out there.
Well,
and here's the conspiracy in a nutshell.
Okay.
The conspiracy is to destroy our race. That's the conspiracy.
Yes.
There's a satanic race on this planet that wants to destroy us. That's the nutshell of the conspiracy.
Yeah, it's
and unfortunately, our race doesn't quite see it as clearly as they ought to.
No, they don't. It's interesting that you should bring that up because I was just forwarded an article from Zero Hedge, which states, this is the title, in 1967, the CIA created the label conspiracy theorist to attack anyone who challenges the official narrative. So officially,
really?
In the year 1967, April, the CIA wrote a dispatch which coined the term conspiracy theories and recommended methods for discrediting such theories. The dispatch was marked PSYCH, short for psychological operations or disinformation, and CS for the CIA's clandestine services unit. So up until 1967, conspiracy theorists were acceptable. So this whole propaganda campaign was begun by the CIA to discredit, quote-unquote, conspiracy truthers, as I like to call ourselves today. Very interesting stuff, huh?
Well, you know, it shows you the power of words and vocabulary and how to frame a narrative to discredit a truthful
story.
I can't even think of the word. But, you know, they like to marginalize who we are, what we think, what we believe. You're just a bunch of
conspiracy
theorists. You're a Nazi, you're a white supremacist, you're a hater, you're a homophobe.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, the power of words. And I just can envision a room full of satanically filled rabbis inventing all of this narrative.
Right.
You know, the CIA didn't come up with this. They were probably fed this by the satanic coven of, you know, demon-infested rabbis that probably come up with all this stuff.
Right, yeah.
But there has been a conspiracy since the Garden of Eden, and that conspiracy will continue until the return of Yahshua Christ with the angelic army.
The consummation.
The conspiracy is to wipe out our people from this earth.
Yes.
That's the conspiracy. That's how it is. And that's all we're really dealing with.
Yes.
And all of history can be understood from that perspective.
And it is
the entire world hates us.
Yes.
They want to kill us. They want to destroy us. Even though we are stupidly, we're the most altruistic race that's ever lived. Deep down, we just want to be among our own kind. We want our children to, you know, marry and date similar other whites
and have white babies.
Whites and just leave us the hell alone.
Right. Just
and
leave us alone.
You dark races, go do whatever it is that you do. But yet they're
in
attracted
Africa.
To us. They leave it. They can't leave us alone. And of course, the Jews attach themselves to us like tapeworms. I apologize to tapeworms for that analogy.
Right.
And we find ourselves in this strange position at the end of this age where we still exist, but yet we are being attacked from every possible angle.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's so the conspiracy truthers, those of us in Christian Identity and white nationals and various other Breitbart, the conspiracy truthers have been having a field day, and the conspiracy deniers have been on the defensive ever since Trump's candidacy, but especially since Breitbart revealed Pizzagate. And then who
Pizzagate.
Was the guy?
Pizzagate. Oh, yeah. We should do a show on that sometime.
And then Julian Assange, and they found all these emails on Podesta's. And oh yeah, who's the other guy? The other Jew, Wiener, Anthony Wiener, found emails on his laptop, proving everything we were saying about them to be true. Okay, so they're on the defensive right now. And so let's keep hammering. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer every Jew. Right? That's what we
got
to hammer on the Jews.
You still got the pipes.
Yes, I still yes, I do.
You were a rock singer, right? That song that opens the show, that's you on the vocals, right?
Oh, no. That's another band from the 60s. There was a lot of anti-war music in the 60s. You know, some of it very good. Okay.
I'm just going to say to our listeners, I've been lucky enough to stay at Eli's place two or three times, and I survived his dogs attacking me.
Right.
He's got like killer dogs, by the way.
I never turned up the volume on my stereo while you were here.
They're little, but they're vicious.
Yeah, right.
It's the little dogs you got to fear. Yeah, the big dogs are pretty friendly. It's little dogs that worry me.
Exactly.
But Eli was a rocker in his youth.
That's right. That's right. I had to give it all up because Yahweh gave me a different calling, so... Here we are. Here's your folk
radio. Brother, you were a rock star, and now you're a Christian Identity.
Yeah.
I was in the pharmaceutical industry for 20 years, and now I'm in Christian Identity. That's the mercy of our Father.
Yeah, who made the stranger transition?
He calls
transition?
Us out
you
of the sinful lifestyle.
Right.
For 20 years, I sold pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I still repent of it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
I don't
always
exactly
merciful.
Repent of doing music, but so, we weren't always good. But here, let's get into chapter 70.
Amen, brother.
Here, therefore, the interpretation of the last black waters, which are to come, this is the word. Behold, the days come, and it will be when the time of the age has ripened, and
Amen.
The harvest of its evil and good seeds has come. That the Mighty One will bring upon the earth and its inhabitants and upon its rulers perturbation of spirit, and here's our favorite word, stupor.
Stupor of heart.
Over to you.
How
do you see?
Brother, remember, this was written thousands of years ago.
Well, yeah.
How perfect is this description?
Like 2,500 years ago.
It is absolutely, I could not have chosen better words. And by the way, now we see the literary genius of R.H. Charles, the translator.
Yes.
His theological notes are to be ignored. But as a translator, he was absolutely the man for the hour.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yes. But even so, his notes are worth reading if you get the, I don't know if they're on the online version, but in the print version that we have, that you and I have. That those notes, there's a lot of technical information there about various words. It's
the linguistic
good.
Notes are good. His theological understanding was childlike, but you know, he was back in the mid to late 1800s, so he didn't see the rise of Jewry in the world.
Right.
You know, through the late 1800s, the 1900s, he has not seen a fraction of what we've seen.
Right.
He tried to do a theological interpretation. It's to be dismissed.
Yes.
But his linguistic notes are just unmatched.
Well, for example, here with the phrase stupor of heart, he has several cross-references to Scripture and also to Ezra, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, chapter 6, chapter 9, chapter 13, etc. And also,
by the way, these references, he's not referencing the Ezra in the quote-unquote Bible. He's referencing the book of Ezra that we went through.
Oh, okay, Second Ezra. Or is that
there's
the book one
of
and two Ezra.
Ezra is not included in the Bible, the apocryphal book of Ezra.
And then he also references the book of Jubilees, which is fantastic, all these apocryphal books.
Yeah, and he did the translation of that book that we use.
Yes.
So this was Yahweh's man on the earth for that moment to do the linguistics. He was the language scholar. Probably he may have been absolutely the top language man in the last 200 years.
R.H. Charles.
And think about it. He translated all these books that were not included in the Bible. But these are the books that we are studying now today. And by the way, I think we're going to need to go through Ezra again, Second Ezra.
Right, yes.
I've been rereading that.
Right. Let me ask you, have you got perturbation of spirits, and do you see stupor of heart in the world today?
I don't know how I get through a day anymore.
Right.
My spirit is perturbed, and everywhere I look and my fellow whites, I see stupors. Stupor. How would you define the word someone who's in a stupor of heart? How would you define that?
Someone who's just dazed and confused, has no idea what's going on.
Dazed and confused. Is that a Led Zeppelin reference?
That's right.
I knew where you were going with that. You are a rocker.
How about Purple Haze? There's another stupor for you, right? Oh, man.
You know where I see a real stupor?
I survived the 60s. Yeah, go ahead.
You know who's in a real stupor? It's our
Donald
women.
Donald Trump.
Forget Trump. Our women are in a stupor. Every time you see a white woman walking down the street with a Negro, maybe pushing in a baby carriage, some little bizarre colored little squalling infant with his skin looks orange, there's someone in a stupor.
Yes.
That's a person in a stupor. That's someone whose ancestors were white for 5,000 years, and all of a sudden she thinks it's okay to hook up with some Negro and bear its offspring. Yeah. I won't call it a child. Term.
Yeah.
That's someone who is in a stupor.
That's right. Well, she went to college.
That's someone who is basically so stoned mentally. And, you know, a lot of people like to blame the woman there. I personally do not blame the woman. Did Yahweh blame Eve for her mistake?
No, he just punished her.
That's how evil our enemy is. I do not blame the women, because our white women are the most enchanting, beautiful creatures on the planet. Yes. Do you realize our women
full of compassion,
were able to seduce angels out of heaven to come down?
Right. Yes.
That's how amazing our women were. Angels were looking down on our women and going, you know, wow, I'm going down to the earth. I'm going to give up all my divinity, all my powers. I got to have one of those. I got to have one of those women down there.
Yeah, right.
That's the power of a white woman.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Yahweh made our women so innocent and naive and trusting.
Right.
That they can be mentally
and
seduced
helpful.
And physically seduced by evil.
They help the wrong race. Exactly. Right.
I go on so many forums and I bump in and I see, that white girl, 17 years old, she went out with a black, he raped her and slit her throat. Yeah, she was a stupid mud shark. Yeah, she got what was coming to her. I will never, ever in my life say that.
No. No, our women are being brainwashed and are being exploited. And yes, and the good qualities of our women are being exploited by Jewry.
Exactly. They're so innocent and pure that they're easily exploited. I blame our white men when a white woman is murdered by some dark demon Negro.
We're trying.
I blame us. I blame myself. I blame us, the men. I blame Adam. It was Adam's fault that Eve got seduced.
Yeah, we don't know where he was when that was going on. But he wasn't there. He wasn't present. You know,
it wasn't Eve's fault. She was created innocent.
Yeah, she was created innocent. Yeah. And she was deceived. She was deceived. She thought she was doing right when she engaged.
I know. And our enemies are so subtle. She probably thought when she was being physically seduced, and let's just call it what it is. She was raped.
Yes, she was.
By a demonic creature, by a fallen angel. Yeah. And we could do many shows on the power of angelic beings.
Yeah.
Not just their intelligence, but they have lived for who knows how many generations and thousands of years. and have powers and knowledge beyond what at this point we can grasp. You think one of them could seduce an innocent, naive white woman?
Oh, for sure.
And they could change their shape right? and their form?
Well, this is why I have said, well, it had to happen to Adam and Eve. It would have happened to our race eventually if it didn't happen to Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
Right? Okay? Because the subtlety of the Nahash creatures is beyond description. It's too much for human minds to wrap around.
They're heavenly angelic beings. They would have tricked any of us.
That's right. They would have.
You know, so.
But that's why we have Yahweh's law, because that's the only antidote. That's the only antidote.
So, I don't know how we got sidetracked. We're in chapter 70.
Yeah,
we're studying what's going to go on at the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about what's happening. Stupor of heart, right? And that's what's happening right now. Verse 3.
Let me jump.
Yeah,
let me jump in.
Go ahead.
The first verse says, "Hear therefore the interpretation of the last black waters." That tells us, last black waters, that identifies that we are discussing the chronology of the end of the age.
That's right.
Here's what's going to go on at the end of the age.
Yes.
This is the last black waters. So that identifies the age. And then the first thing it says, it goes, "Behold, the days come, and it will be the time when the ages ripen, and the harvest of the evil and good seeds has come." And I don't want to even go past that. Let's just talk right there.
Uh-huh.
And let's correlate that with Matthew chapter 13.
Yes. Wheat and the tares.
The wheat and the tares. So Baruch refers to it as the harvest of evil and good seeds. And Matthew chapter 13 discusses it as, you know, the wheat and the tares. Let's just explore that correlation for a minute. Is it not a perfect correlation?
Well, yeah, because it takes that Matthew 13 takes us all the way back to Genesis 3:15 as well.
Yes,
as Baruch does here.
How perfect is the fitting together of these books?
Yes.
Baruch is absolutely scripture.
Oh, it's on
inspired
the money.
Writing. There's not even.
Right.
I'm not even going to waste 2 seconds defending. Right. Why we're spending time in the Apocalypse of Baruch. This is a book that in an ideal situation would have been put into our so-called Bible. Tell you the truth, I don't even like to use the term Bible anymore. That term bothers me because I realize many inspired books were left out of that book.
Yes,
you know?
But we have them all. That's the good thing.
We have everything we were meant to have. I believe we are missing hundreds of writings.
Yes.
That the Jews have destroyed over the centuries, the writings of Enoch, the writings of Ezra. Mm-hmm. Enoch, remember Ezra said he wrote, I believe, 366 books. Mm-hmm. We have 2 or 3 books of Ezra.
Right.
The Jews have gone out of their way to destroy inspired books. But I truly trust in the providence of Yahweh.
Yes.
We have what we were meant to have right now.
Right. Well, these revelations were meant for his remnant, his people Israel.
Amen,
and,
brother.
And I don't think anybody else can even understand them, even though to you and me, and certainly most of our listeners, these are obvious. These expressions are obvious. For example, verse 3, "And they will hate one another and provoke one another to fight." That is the two seeds, hating each other. Okay. And that enmity was declared in Genesis 3:15. "And they will hate one another and provoke one another to fight, and the mean will rule over the honorable, and those of low degree will be extolled above the famous." Well, I mean,
Eli, before we even get into that, brother, I consider you the top Christian identity scholar on the planet.
Oh, thank you for saying
so. Let me ask you your interpretation of this. We're going to get into what you just got into, but before we get there, I'm backing up a verse or two. I want you to interpret this for me.
Okay.
"Behold, the days come, and it will be when the time of the ages ripen." Okay, here's what I want you to break down. Break this down for me in a theological thing.
Okay.
"And the harvest of its evil and good seeds has come." That last phrase.
Yes.
Harvest of good seed and evil seed.
Right.
Just tell me what comes to you when you hear that phrase. Harvest of good seed, harvest of evil seed. Break it down for us from the Christian identity perspective. Yeah. I'm serving up a big softball here, bro.
Right.
I want to hear what you have to say.
I got a big, heavy bat.
But yeah, bring out the big bat.
Well, it's as you just said, it's Matthew chapter 13, where the parable of the wheat and the tares, the apostles asked Yeshua, please explain to us. This is a very interesting parable that you just told us. And he says, well, this relates to the fact that the evil seed, the tares, were planted by the devil, by the evil one. Okay.
Right. And then he I got my B-O-B-L-E out here.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to Matthew 13. Tell me what to read.
Okay.
Because the correlation is exquisitely perfect.
Right. And then also, when they ask him about the end of the age, also in Matthew chapter 24, he says, well, getting back to Matthew chapter 13, the world, the field is the world, okay? And the angels are the ones going to come back and destroy the evil seed. They're going to take care of the tares who are going to be bundled and burned, while we get the privilege of, number one, looking on and also participating to whatever. We don't know what extent we're going to participate in, but we will.
All right, let me read a few verses from Matthew 13. And if you would, correlate what I'm going to read to what we're looking at here in Baruch. Okay, I'm starting in Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? From whence came from whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also with them.
Yes.
Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So how does those amazing verses correlate to what we're looking at in Baruch? Because the correlation seems very, very
right.
Yeah, it's just there's a correlation for sure.
Well, the word seeds in verse 2 has to be taken literally. The evil seeds and the good seeds, just as we two seed liners have been expressing for decades.
Yes, brother.
Okay. It's not just figurative. It's not just good people and evil people. It's two seeds, the tares and the wheat. It's clearly two different people, right? The seed line of Cain versus the seed line of Adam and Eve through Seth, all right?
Brother, so, you're on a roll. Keep going.
Yeah, well, it can't get any clearer, from the two seed line point of view. And this just backs up. Matthew chapter 13 backs this up, that there's people called tares, who are the evil seed, and the people who are called wheat, who are the good seed, okay? And the tares get burnt, for sure. They have get no way out. They're tares. They're goners, okay?
So would you say then, because I run into this, I talk to people and they go, oh, yeah, we're all born good, but, people just become evil. And I usually try to correct that way of thinking. They go, let me tell you how Scripture really boils this down.
About Jews, right?
There are people that are born
evil
and will be evil forever. There is no salvation for them. Their destiny is fire. They don't become evil. We're not all born good. We just become evil. There literally are satanic beings being born into this planet. This is the seed line of Cain.
Yes. Amen.
These are the tares.
And that seed line was passed down through the Canaanites and the Edomites, and more specifically through the Edomites, who have been, throughout Scripture, castigated as the most evil and the ones most destined for this earthly fire. Okay? It's prophesied in many places in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Even Paul tells us that these Edomites are vessels fit for destruction.
Exactly, and that's an excellent, vessels fit for, they were born to destruction.
Yes. Yeah.
And our Savior, Yahshua Christ, did not come to save everyone. That's got to be the greatest theological fallacy that has ever been put out there by the demonic Jews that have infiltrated all the seminaries and the Bible schools. He didn't come to save everybody. There's no chance of that whatsoever. He came to save us, the elect, the white race.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're branded as the most evil Nazi, racist, white supremacists for preaching this truth.
Even though we oppose war.
But once you understand this truth, that all the pieces fall together.
Yes, yeah.
You know, he didn't come to save all those ignorant Negroes that climb trees and eat each other and murder and kill and steal. And,
exactly.
I mean, not a chance.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Pastor Steve and I have mentioned this many times. There's a difference between redemption, which was exclusively for the Israelites because we strayed and we were divorced by Yahweh to be redeemed by his son Yeshua. And that applies exclusively to Israel and not even to other whites. It only applies to the Israelites because we're the only ones who had the law and we're the only ones who were divorced, okay?
That's right.
But nevertheless, salvation in the sense that your race may continue to exist, you know, in the form of salvaging something before it's destroyed, okay? That's completely different from redemption. It's completely different from being of the genome of the covenant people.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, and the Bible nowhere says that non-Israelites will one day become Israelites. It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. That's made up doctrine, as you're pointing out.
You know, that's why when I pass these certain, you know, churches where I see Korean Christian churches or Chinese Christian churches.
North Korean church.
I realize, okay, these people may have some belief system related to Yahshua Christ and Yahweh.
Right.
But they will never have eternal life. They're like a servant race eventually when it all is settled. You know, is there some blessing for them to believe this way? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Does it... Would I call them a Christian brother? Not in a million years.
No. They don't become Israelites because they convert to some form of Christianity, so-called, right?
Right. It's just the Jews have so succeeded in muddying the waters of true faith, of true racial understanding, that, you know, it's a miracle that any of us have ever found Christian identity and wrapped our minds around it, and here we are tonight. Yeah. And we're exploring some of the greatest theological truth that the planet has ever seen.
Yeah, seek and she will find.
It's a miracle.
To paraphrase it.
I give myself zero credit
this
aspect.
Yeah. Well, if I hadn't seen a flyer that was handed to me by a student at the University of Illinois advertising the next convention at the Christian Patriots Defense League in Southern Illinois, you know, I was already studying British Israel. But I had just heard about Christian identity, and lo and behold, this flyer falls in my lap. Okay? I got to go to this. You know, that's where I met Pastor Sheldon Emery and Jack Moore and, you know, many, many great identity teachers.
That's a privilege.
Oh, man, I thought the world was coming to an end right there, and we were going to beat the Jews. All right? That's how...
Well, I was a white nationalist, and... I came across this website that had, you know, these Christian sermons on it, and I had not made the connection yet between being a Christian and being a white nationalist. I didn't see the connection, and I clicked on some website that brought me to sermons of Bertrand Comparé.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, who's this guy? Some kind of white nationalist that was a Christian.
Theorist.
and I'm looking through his sermons, and I started reading them, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And I began to see the connection.
This is totally different.
And then I found your website, and I sent you an email. And like 20 minutes later, you called me. And I'll always love you for that.
right. Well, I had a similar experience. I came out of the stupor, and so did you, okay? And that's the important thing, that we come out of the stupor. But let's go to verse 3. And they will hate one another and provoke one another to fight, and the mean will rule over the honorable. Which I'll just let maybe in your own words, who are the mean, who are the honorable here? And those
well, actually, when we went through this the first time, I began to make notes. I got a lot of notes in my book. So we're through. We're in the period of the perturbation of spirit and stupor of heart.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the stupor of heart is our people.
That's right.
It's our race.
The other
that
races
has
don't seem to care.
Heart.
You know, they're happy if they have three hots in a cot. We want clarity. We want law. And, we want order.
So, and they will hate one another and provoke one another to fight. And so if you approach these verses with the idea that this is talking about our race, our people, because the other races in many, most, all ways are really insignificant. So these verses are discussing the Israelites at the end of the age, the white race. So if you come to these verses with that understanding, they all begin to make sense. And they will hate one another. And the Jews have created an atmosphere where our people hate one another.
That's right. That's right.
You know, liberals against
divide
conservatives.
And conquer. Yes.
You know, I mean, you put whatever term on it you want. Our people are just the most ununited race that's ever been. Yeah. We cannot be, it's not allowed for us to be united.
Yes. And who are the mean who rule over the honorable?
Yeah, I have notes on that. Yeah. And the mean will rule over the honorable. So who could the mean be? Here's the note
liberals,
I made. And the
liberals.
Jew will rule over the white.
That's right.
That's the mean over the honor. We are, we are, who else could be the honorable but us?
Exactly.
And those of low degree will be extolled above the famous.
Bill Clinton.
So I wrote in my notes, the Jew will be extolled above the white.
It sure will.
And the many will be delivered into the hands of the few. Few even rhymes with Jew, by the way. I don't know if that was by accident.
Jew world and, order.
So here's my note here. Yeah. And the whites will be delivered into the hands of the Jew.
There you go. Right.
And those who are nothing will rule over the strong. And my note is, and those who are nothing, Jews, will rule over the strong, whites.
Because they can make money out of nothing.
That's right.
Paper money.
They have power beyond anything, beyond what they deserve in any way, because they can create money out of pushing buttons now.
And we outnumber them 300-1, but they rule over us.
And how about this? And the poor will have abundance beyond the rich. And here's my note. Jews distribute the wealth of the white race.
Right, exactly.
The dark races.
Yeah, a welfare state.
Yep. Yeah.
And
we
communism.
Work. Yeah. Our money is taken from us to support the very dark races that are being infiltrated into our lands to bring about our destruction.
Yeah.
We are literally financing our own destruction.
Yes.
Does that not make you a little crazy?
Right. And then finally, the last phrase here in verse 4. The impious will exalt themselves.
That is.
It can be blacks and Jews and others. The impious will exalt themselves above the heroic. Martin Luther King gets his own holiday. And Abraham Lincoln and George Washington have a President's Day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jews determine our heroes for us.
Yeah, brother. I mean, what race on this planet in the history of this world could ever be referred to as a heroic race?
Yes. Yes.
And it says the impious. The unholy, the unrighteous will exalt themselves above the heroic. How about this book of Baruch?
Right.
Is this not the speaking of our Creator Yahweh to us in these final days to have this book in front of us?
Right.
I hope everyone that's listening to this show has a hard. Saints, you need a hard copy. I think this book sells for $10 or $12 from, let me check, Destiny Publishers.
Right.
You go on Destiny Publishers, they got a website. You need a hard copy of this book. You will be thrilled to have a copy of this book, just so you can just touch it, read it, look at it. This is a book worth having.
Put it under your pillow.
I counsel you to ignore most of the footnotes in it. The theological footnotes, they're pretty worthless. But this is a book to have. Yes. Certain books, I'm just old school. I like the book in my hand. I like to read the book.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And how about this next verse, verse 5? And the wise will be silent, and the foolish will speak. So who would the wise be at the end of the age?
Well, you know whose voice has been squelched by the perfidious Jew? In fact, Google, you know, is taking away our talk show system. They're going to impose the YouTube and Facebook sanctions against anybody who criticizes the Jews and censor us. So the wise have been censored. It's hard for us to get the word out. Very difficult. Yet
brother,
the foolish speak everywhere, right?
The wise, you know who the wise are at the end of the age? It could only be one group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's Christian Identity.
Amen.
Who else is wise at the end of the age? I wouldn't be so generous to say it's the white race.
No.
Because our race,
or even white
as a whole, has very little wisdom right now.
Yes.
But the truly wise at the end of the age are the elect whites that have been shown what's going on, who the Jews are, who they are, how the time is unfolding. The wise is Christian Identity. I am 1,000% certain of it. I can't prove it. That's just my gut feeling. But I would say it's, and the Christian Identity, brothers and sisters, will be silent. Because we know we cannot speak out too loud. They'll come and put us in jail.
Right. We can't have our own meetings.
Go out in public and name the Jew.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not quite like it is in Germany or Canada where they'll slap you in jail for denying the Holocaust or calling out the Jew. But it's getting there. It's close to it.
Very close.
And if they have their way, it'll happen. And now that we understand that Trump is basically been completely, you know, sold out to
Jewified.
The Jews, and Jared Kushner is an associate of George Soros,
oh.
and we realize we've been duped.
Yes.
They tricked us.
Yes.
They were
tricked us.
It was an amazingly subtle if I didn't hate them so much, I'd give them credit for what they did.
More subtle than a beast
they
in the
tricked
field.
Us. They beguiled us. We're like Eve. We spread our legs and we had sex with a serpent. We voted for Trump. That was the modern-day Garden of Eden. Can't believe I just said that, but that's how I view it.
Right.
We were all raped by a serpent, and we voted for Trump, and we got what was coming to us. We trusted the system.
Yeah. Well, none of us in Identity really got our hopes up, but we were,
I know.
We were just praying that he would deliver on some of his promises. He's almost backed off on all of them now. Virtually all of them. Okay. So, neither will the thought of men be then confirmed, nor the counsel of the mighty, nor will the hope of those who hope be confirmed. What are your notes on that verse?
I'm looking here. Just that there will
talked about that our hope wasn't confirmed, right?
Yeah, this befuddled mindset. The thought of men, you know, neither will the thought of men be confirmed, nor the counsel of the mighty.
Yes.
Nor will the hope of those who hope be confirmed. Brother, here's my thought. I'm both a pessimist and an optimist. I hold out zero hope that our race will ever step up and be what we were meant to be apart from the return of Yahshua Christ to set the planet up for us. Our enemy is that strong, that entrenched. Look what they did to us with Trump. Look how we were beguiled.
Yeah,
I'm convinced now Trump was set up to be. I mean, look how
it sure looks
you almost
that
have
way.
To tip your hat to the Jews for what they did. Hillary was the devil. Trump was the savior. All the whites voted for Trump. I believe Trump was their man all along.
Okay,
I think it was a setup.
A setup.
And this is how tricky they are. We fell right into it.
Can't put anything past them. Can't put anything past them. Yes.
I mean, we were naive to think Trump was going to come in and do anything.
Well, the only thing he's still doing is attacking the sanctuary cities. Outside of that, he has reneged on just about every promise, even the wall. He's backtracking.
I believe he was their man all along. Okay. I think Hillary was the decoy. Hillary was the target of hatred. I think they had their eye on putting Trump in all along. And okay. Kushner being the business associate of George Soros, I think that was the plan from the beginning.
That's incredible.
We fell right into it. This is how tricky they are.
That's incredible. Yes, yes. But one positive is that the white people, the white working class, realized that for sure the Democratic Party is their enemy. Now they got to realize that the Republican Party is not their friend either. Right?
But we're in this time, it says, moreover, it will be when those things which were predicted have come to pass, that confusion will fall upon all men. Mm-hmm. Some will fall in battle. Some will perish in anguish. Some of them will be destroyed by their own.
Wow.
This could only be talking about whites killing whites. What
That's
else
right.
could it be?
Exactly.
Some will be destroyed by their own. Because rarely does Scripture get into the lives of the other races. Scripture is almost always discussing what goes on with Yahweh's people.
Yes.
Because the other races really are of little or no concern whatsoever. They play a minor part in the big picture. You know?
Yes, two-thirds of our race has been destroyed since World War I. That's the real
but,
Holocaust.
You know, this is what has to happen. That's why I never trusted Trump, because I never saw in any scripture where our race kind of pulls it together we step up and we take over the planet and we subject the other races to our will. That doesn't happen apart from the kingdom coming to this earth.
No, it doesn't.
You know?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it's going to happen, but not without the dramatic return of the Messiah in the clouds and the ridding the planet of Jewry. That has to happen. Until that happens, there's no victory for us whatsoever. We're going to have that foot on our neck until the end. Do you disagree? Do you see it differently?
How do you see it?
No,
that's exactly right. We're supposed to align ourselves behind our Messiah. And unless we do, we get no heavenly support. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we jump back in here. Verse 7, then the Most High will reveal to those peoples whom he has prepared before, that's got to be us,
right?
And they will come and make war with the leaders that shall then be left. Mm-hmm. And it will come to pass that whosoever gets safe out of the way will die in the earthquake. Whosoever gets safe out of the earthquake will be burned by the fire. And whosoever gets safe out of the fire will be destroyed by famine.
Yes,
this is what I believe
coming.
Is coming up at the
that's
end
right.
of the age.
Oh, and Pastor Steve also mentions that the with regard to some of them will be destroyed by their own, the Judeo-Christians are attacking us too, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be the ones that will go, you know, slaughter those ones. They think
those identity racist bigots, anti-Semites.
They don't believe the Jews are God's chosen. Yeah, right. They must die. You know,
yes, exactly.
And the rabbis will be back behind the curtain, rubbing their hands
pulling
together,
pulling the strings. Right,
saying, that's right. Kill them all. They hate Israel.
The wizard of Jews.
I mean, this is the weird age we live in right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yet in the midst of this insanity, the truth is being unveiled to us through this incredible, just this book, but Yahweh has called out a group of people, white people, at the end of the age and unveiled his truth to us.
Yes.
What a privilege to be in that group. Even though Judeo-Christianity would condemn us, the Jews would put us in a gulag if they could and kill us. You know, they'd have the police come and arrest us for hate crimes, for even discussing such issues. And yet here we are.
Uh-huh.
What a blessed group to be in. And I'm guessing it's a small group.
Yes.
You know, this is not a Joel Osteen crowd where we got 40,000 people out there.
Yeah, right.
We might have, I don't know, 20, 30. I don't know the number.
Right.
But this is the elect on the earth, brother. That's how
Amen.
I look at it.
Amen.
That's what this truth is to me.
Yes. Okay, because a couple more verses, we can get all of chapter 70 in with about 9 minutes left.
Are you going to read? Do you want me to read?
What do we do? Well, you were reading. Go ahead with verse 9.
And it will come to pass that whosoever of the victors and the vanquished gets safe out of and escapes all these things aforesaid will be delivered into the hands of my servant,
okay.
Messiah.
So whether you're good or evil, you will be delivered to the hands of Yahshua. He will be our judge, and there's no escaping that. All right?
There is no escape.
There's no escape from that. Okay.
And he goes on, the last verse, it says, for all the earth will devour its inhabitants.
Right.
We clearly have not reached this point yet.
No, not yet. No. No, there's
going to
be.
We're in the build-up to this climactic, unbelievable, apocalyptic end of the age. And it will be the most traumatic event that is imaginable. It's obvious this hasn't happened yet because, believe me, brother, if this had happened, we'd know it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're talking the end of the age.
No.
And the ushering in of the eternal age on this earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is
premillennial and saying the thousand-year age.
Yeah.
This will be the eternal age on this earth.
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking World War One, Two, Korea, Vietnam, Somalia, all that rolled up into one. That's how bad this is going to be. Because it's going to be the final conflict between good and evil on this planet. In one, it's well described in Revelation chapter 18, the destruction of Mystery Babylon.
Yeah, how well they correlate.
Yeah.
The end of the age, as John describes it, the end of the age, in Matthew and the Gospels, all these, and Enoch, obviously, Ezra, all these books fit together so perfectly. Amazing. how they merge together.
Yes.
It's a perfect narrative.
Yeah, and it looks like chapter 71 is a comment on chapter 70. Let me pick it up here. And the Holy Land will have mercy on its own, and it will protect its inhabitants at that time. Do you think what's your vision of the Holy Land, that little...
I have a note. I wrote a note the first time we went through it. Under Holy Land, I put down the white lands.
Okay.
The white nations. We're not talking about, the quote-unquote land of Israel, where the Jewish criminal headquarters. The Holy Land, to me, is the white nations.
Yes.
There will be mercy among where our people have been scattered.
Yes. Now, you can see that we're under this perturbation of spirit and stupor, confusion in all of our white nations right now. So this is a hopeful verse telling us this is going to change, but this is not going to be until Messiah. We see that Messiah has already arrived at the end of chapter 70.
Right, okay. And we don't really have enough time to get into the upcoming chapters, but these chapters discuss the return of Christ to the earth and the judgment and the setting up of the kingdom on this planet and the ruling and reigning of the white race over the races that are allowed to survive and be servant races to us. Brother, this is one of the most profound books that's ever been written. The Apocalypse of Baruch, and yet the fact that it was left out of the Bible, and we are studying it now, is so significant. I wonder how many Christians, is there a more misunderstood term than the term Christian? What white person doesn't identify as a Christian?
Right.
I mean, a handful of crazies and transgenders and homosexuals, I'm not a Christian, I'm an agnostic. Right. But 99% of white people, if you ask them, are you a Christian? They go, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I mean, our people are just drawn to this truth, even if they don't understand it or they're ignorant of it, or even if they have no idea. They just realize deep within them there's this thing they call themselves a Christian.
Right. I have one more verse here that correlates with the end of chapter 70. That's John 5:29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We were just told by Baruch, you will be judged by Messiah. Okay? Everyone who has ever lived will be judged.
Yeah, I think and this judgment is really only discussing our race.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe any of the other races face judgment.
Yeah, they face. It's a different type of.
It's our people that stand before Yahweh and Yahshua Christ and face judgment. I don't believe some Negro. I don't even call them people. When these other races die, they go wherever they're going to go.
Right.
They either cease to exist, they go into the fire. They're not part of it. They're not part of who we are, what we are, what our eternity is.
Yeah,
I go insane when I get this concept of people going to Africa and spend their life preaching this word to blacks.
Yeah.
That just makes me out of my mind.
Right.
I think, are you kidding me? You really think
the
savior
the
of the universe came down to die for these ignorant cannibal savages that they are even worthy of hearing a word of this?
Yeah, right.
You can give your life for this?
Yes.
Are you that ignorant that you think that this thing, that this amazing word applies to everyone and anyone?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, it's incredible that but that's what the churches teach. And so the churches have become the coefficient of Nachash in the modern world, seducing not just women, but men fewer men, into this vision that all races are equal. Okay,
did you just say that they were the coefficient of Nachash? Did I just hear you say that? That's very profound. I would not have been able to come up with that.
Right?
I salute you
It's a mathematical equation.
They are the coefficient of the Nachash.
Right.
You're the
in
man.
In other words, they're Nachash in physical form today.
No, I totally get what you said. I'm just you just put it so eloquently. I'm
right.
Temporarily in a stupor.
Yeah, right.
I'm not perturbed in heart, but I'm in a stupor that you came up with such a cool saying.
Yeah, we inspired.
I wish I would have said that.
Right.
But
that's where we're at. Now we need the
coefficient
of salvation.
It's a, it's a miracle we see these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle we're doing this show, exploring these truths.
It is.
So many so-called churches are having their little prayer meetings saying, we got to pray for the salvation of all the tribes of Africa. Who
right.
feels called to go to the mission field? This is what's going on out there.
That's right.
In the meantime, we're exploring what goes on at the end of the age and the judgment and how our race will rule this planet for the next quintillion years after, the return. We're into the real meat of the word here.
Yeah.
It doesn't get deeper than this.
Yeah. Let me just read the last two verses of chapter 71 because we're just about out of time.
Okay.
This is the vision which thou hast seen, and this is the interpretation. For I have come to tell thee these things because thy prayer has been heard with the Most High. And we need to keep praying to Yahweh.
Amen.
That our prayers be heard. Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Amen, brother. Yahweh, give mercy to your people.
Amen. But have mercy on
need your
people.
Mercy.
Yes, to those who have been deceived and those of us who are continuing in the struggle of your elect in this world. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition.
Amen.
Thanks for
praise
listening,
Yahweh,
folks.
Praise Yahweh, brother.
Praise Yahweh. Thanks. Thanks, Brother Greg. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye, folks.
Praise Yahweh, saints. Amen.